This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action. I'm Kent Blanford. In the studio with me, Bridget Ayer.
Yeah, we're here together, Kent.
And today we're bringing in probably a voice that you're almost as familiar, if not more familiar with than most of those of the local shows. We have Trent Horn from Catholic Answers with us. Trent can be heard often on Catholic Answers Live from 6 to 8 p.m. every day right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Yes, and we're going to be talking about something that we all deal with as Catholics, and that is answering tough moral questions from a Catholic perspective. So Trent's going to be here to help us, and he's on the phone with us right now from sunny San Diego. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yay. Well, Trent, thank you so much for being with us. And I really want you to launch into, maybe start off by, what is Catholic Answers? People maybe don't know what that is.
Sure. Catholic Answers is an apostolate dedicated to explaining and defending the faith. We're a media apostolate that focuses on sharing answers to people's questions and refuting arguments against the Catholic faith. We offer a daily call-in radio show, Catholic Answers Live. We publish a magazine, both online and print, booklets on defending the faith, as well as a series of podcasts, one of the most recent being my podcast, The Council of Trent, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, which is available at TrentHornPodcast.com. All of that to help people have those answers and be equipped to evangelize and share their faith with others.
And I might want to mention, Trent, you're actually going to be here in the metro area Friday, July 26th at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish. That's my home parish. You'll be there in the church at 7 p.m. That's open to all. And then you're also going to be in town that entire weekend, July 26th through July 28th, at the Frassati Summer Fest, which is also at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So if you're listening and you want to plug into that, please do come out to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, July 26th. At 7 p.m., all are welcome to that. So, now, what is an apologist, Trent? You are the staff apologist at Catholic Answers. What the heck is an apologist?
Well, an apologist is not somebody who goes around saying sorry that he's Catholic. It's a common misconception.
Yep.
The word apologist refers to someone who engages in apologetics. Apologetic comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to give a reason or a defense. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to give an apologia, or a reason for the hope within. So apologetics is a field of theology, it's a subset of theology, that is dedicated towards providing a rational defense of the Christian faith. And so what I do is help people answer their questions, as well as rebut arguments people make, whether it's the arguments of atheists or Protestants or people who object to the church's moral teachings, to show that faith and reason do not conflict with one another.
And I want to talk to you about your background. You're a graduate of Franciscan University of Steubenville, and there's so many awesome people coming out of there that are just setting the world on fire for the faith. I want you to talk about your conversion and how did God get you into all this? How did you get to be doing this?
Sure. Well, I was raised in a nominally religious home. It was actually kind of non-religious. But then in high school, I met Catholic friends at a youth group lunchtime meeting. And from there, I investigated the claims of Christianity and Catholicism. And then in my junior year, was received into the Catholic Church, baptized, confirmed, and First Eucharist. And then from there, I really felt like I had a knack and a calling for just learning apologetics and defending the faith. I taught people how to do that at my youth group. I traveled the country doing pro-life apologetics on university campuses. And I was doing pro-life teaching for in our diocese, the Diocese of Phoenix, under Bishop Olmsted, before I began working at Catholic Answers in December of 2012.
Wow. And so you're a convert to boot. That's really awesome. You know, our converts tend to be the most fervent Catholics. You know, I'm sure you've experienced that in your walk as well.
Certainly. Well, I think all of us, my wife herself, she was, a cradle Catholic, as the term is often used. And I've met many cradle Catholics that are far more fervent than even many converts that I know. And I think part of that is all of us have to make a decision for ourselves at some point to convert, to go from where we are, whether it's being not Catholic or just having Catholicism be what we were raised with, to make it something that we own as a personal faith. So I think all of the best Catholics are those who have that convert mentality or heart, whether or not they're technically converts. So, yeah, I think that we all have to make that move in our faith at some point to take it seriously.
That's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up. We're talking with Trent Horn, we're talking about answering tough moral questions from a Catholic perspective. Now, you're accustomed, I've watched a lot of your videos when you were on campus and asking questions or answering or fielding questions from people. What do you think are the most common questions that Catholics are facing right now in our culture, and how do we go about answering them? You know, where do you start with that? If you're maybe you're a lifelong Catholic, but you've never really been able to answer questions or feel comfortable doing that, where do you start? And what are the main questions people are asking out there?
You know, I think what people are asking now, it's funny, when Catholic Answers was formed in 1979 and the early 1980s, the primary questions that were fielded by the apologists were ones from Protestants. You know, where is purgatory in the Bible? Why do you pray to Mary? And we still do answer many of those kinds of questions today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most common questions we get, honestly, are those from atheists who say, how can you believe in God at all? And those who disagree with the Church's moral teachings. You know, why are you opposed to LGBT+? You know, does that make you hateful? Why do you think abortion should be illegal? Why are you anti-woman? And so we have to be able to answer those questions. I actually wrote a whole book on the moral issues, co-authored with my friend Layla Miller, who is a Catholic mom of eight. It's called Made This Way, How to Explain Tough Moral Issues to Children. And the book, actually, it's great at explaining the issues to anybody. But we show that you have to ask the right questions to get the conversation going. So when it comes to the areas of sexual morality, I ask people, what's your standard for sexual morality? Any standard beyond what God has given us in his natural law naturally leads to absurdities. You know, so that's one way to talk about that. When it comes to pro-life, I always focus the conversation on the question, what are the unborn? If the unborn are human beings, we should treat them humanely. So I think that a lot of times when we share our faith, we have to be good at asking questions even more so than answering them.
Now, could you give those two questions again? Because I want to write them down and get them in my head. So with the LGBT or sexual morality in general, what's the question we want to ask the person?
I'd like to ask, what is sex for? If it's purely for sharing emotional connections with people, that doesn't explain why people morally object to things like rampant promiscuity or infidelity. The asking, you know, what is sex for? That when we look within the design of our very bodies, we see it's for a particular one flesh bond, a life-giving bond that only exists between men and women, ordered towards the marital act. So I like to ask people about sexual morality. You know, what is sex even for?
Mm-hmm.
Then when it comes to abortion, I make it very blunt. What are the unborn? Tell me what they are, because if they're human beings, we ought to treat them humanely.
Yeah, that's great. And I really love your demeanor. I mean, are there tips in terms of, you know, people that are Catholics that are answering questions, whatever they might be? Is there a certain type of demeanor? I mean, sometimes I always say, I'm writing a book myself, and right now I'm doing a chapter on discipleship versus debating. And, you know, I think, you know, you really want to be discipling, not so much debating. I mean, and I guess I look at debating more as maybe in a more hostile way, whereas debating can just be a conversation. Can you talk about the demeanor we should have when we are engaging someone and how to, I guess, keep it civil?
Yeah, I think the mode that we should operate with when we're talking with people is one where we're shoulder to shoulder, trying to walk towards the truth instead of toe to toe, fighting one another on a point. And so in being shoulder to shoulder, you can ask thoughtful and constructive questions like, well, why do you believe this? Or how did you come to that conclusion? Why do you think that's true? And always take it as saying, look, I want to get to the truth. Can you help me do that? But hopefully we're both mutually trying to get to the truth together. I mean, I've done debates. Debates have their place.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I engage in public, formal, moderated debates, I'm really doing it more for the benefit of the people who are listening,
right,
not for the person I'm debating, because that person is pretty stuck in stone.
Right.
The debate is for people who are watching that are on the fence. But I think you have a good point in your chapter that our interactions with everyday people should not be debates, because we should try to have a conversation that can lead that other person to the truth instead of just hammering them over the head with our arguments.
And I think you also, when people are asking questions, you kind of have to assess where the person that's asking the question is at. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And how do you do that, I guess? You know, how can you tell if you can have a constructive conversation, since you're the expert of getting these questions? You know what I'm saying? You might have someone that's in the hostile category, you know, hostile, angry category. You might have somebody in the wounded category. You might have somebody in the I just don't know category, or haven't really thought through. I mean, how do you personally determine when to continue a conversation, and if you can even have a fruitful conversation? And again, a lot of times the conversations that you're having are really for maybe not necessarily that person, but the people that are listening that maybe are on the fence.
Right. It really is a judgment call that each person has to develop. It's sort of a sense to know when a conversation is fruitful and when one has to turn back. When you're talking in circles and you're not getting anywhere, sometimes that calls for a conversation to naturally reach its endpoint, or that you've reached an impasse. If someone is talking over you, if they're interrupting you, if they don't want to let you get a word in edgewise, then you have to say, well, I'm interested in really having a good conversation with you, but it doesn't seem like you, then it seems like you want to engage in a monologue, not a dialogue. And so, you know, sometimes I let them, you know, unspool and then say, maybe we can talk about this at another time. Or if it's just reached a good point has been made by myself and I want that person to mull it over, I'll say, you know, I'd be happy to talk about it with you at another time. Hopefully I gave you something good to think about. And that's our goal, is to always give people a little pebble in their shoe, something to think about after the conversation has ended.
We are up against a break here. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with more of Faith in Action with our guest, Trent Horn, right after this.
Author of 5 books and radio host of Catholic Answers Live, Trent Horn will be speaking at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Catholic Church on Friday, July 26th at 7 p.m. Trent's topic will be how to talk about tough moral issues. Trent holds master's degrees in theology and philosophy and is currently pursuing a 3rd master's degree in bioethics. All are welcome to attend. A free will offering will be collected. That's Trent Horn at Our Lady of Mount Carmel on Friday, July 26th at 7 p.m.
Here is your special invitation to our annual dinner. It's coming right up on Tuesday, August 27th. It'll be at the Northside Events and Social Club, formerly the Knights of Columbus Hall, near 71st and Keystone. It begins with a reception and silent auction at 6 p.m., then dinner at 7. There'll be a live auction with some really special items. If you have new items that you'd like to donate to either the silent auction or the live auction, please let us know right away. Father Douglas Hunter, pastor of St. Rock Parish and chaplain for the Indianapolis Colts, will be the speaker. It'll be a fun event, and it will raise some funds that are critical to keeping Catholic radio on the air in this area. Tickets are $65 per person, or you can round up some friends and save some money with a table for 8 for just $450. Tickets are available right now online at Catholic Radio Indy or by calling 317-870-8400. And special thanks to Franciscan Health for their help in underwriting the cost of this year's event.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Kent Blanford along with Bridget Ayer, and we are on the phone with Trent Horn, author, number of books, Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love, Answering Atheism, The Case for Catholicism. A number of these books, we've got stored in our back room here at Catholic Radio Indy, because for RCIA classes throughout the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, Diocese of Lafayette, we provide them with little goodie bags that we call Catholic Starter Kits. And we drop these books in there because these are great resources for RCIA. And Trent, we were talking a little bit before the break about how do we find ourselves in a position where we can easily, because there's no easy defense of our faith. How do we find ourselves in a position where we can defend our faith and be confident in what we're doing?
Good question, Kent.
Well, I think the best way to be confident about our faith is, one, to know our faith very well. So that means reading the Catechism, reading the New Testament, knowing the faith in an intimate way. That way, when people ask about it, we're not struggling for an explanation of what we believe. And then just being familiar with some of the basic objections that people make against the faith. And it doesn't take a lot of study to be able to answer those. I would recommend books like my book, Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. My friend Jimmy Akin has a wonderful book called A Daily Defense. It covers 365 common objections people make to the faith, and they're short. Each objection is handled in one page, so you just wake up and read your page, and then you're prepared. So once, when we are familiar with our faith and with the questions people ask, we're not as defensive because we're familiar with it, and then we can engage people in those conversations. Second, I would recommend that when we are in these conversations, that we should ask more questions than making statements and make them defend their point of views, make them show why we should believe that they're correct on these issues instead of always having to play defense.
And I think it's really interesting that you bring that up about us asking questions of them, because a lot of times Catholics are kind of, in a sense, blindsided. You know, we're just going about our day, and then someone will just confront us and say, well, why do Catholics do this, or why do they hate certain people, or whatever, why are you blah blah blah, you know? And we're kind of, you know, caught off guard. But I think it's important that we do. I know that in, when I've listened to you ask other people questions about, well, why, what do you believe, it, they're really kind of on shaky ground, you know what I'm saying? It's, they haven't
That's
really
right.
They haven't really thought, they might have hold a strong opinion about something, but they haven't really thought through why they think that. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And we are, it's a lot of times we instinctively think that we have to, our job is to provide answers. So when someone says, why do you hate gay people? We want to say, well, of course we don't hate gay people. Catholic Church, we love all people, but, you know, we don't love everything that people do. And, you know, we go on an explanation. Whereas the first thing I would say is, why in the world do you think I hate gay people or people who identify as being gay? And they'll say, well, because you say they, you know, can't be allowed to love each other. Why do you think I say they're people who identify as gay are not allowed to love each other? Well, because they can't engage in, you know, can't get married. What do you think sex is for? What do you think marriage is for? Does that make sense why we would be opposed to that? And so there, and by asking the question, once again, we put the onus on the other person to defend their point of view that they're simply assuming is true without giving a lot of good thought towards it.
And the other thing is that one thing that I think as Catholics we can feel confident in is that we are standing on solid ground. You know, we have, you know,
on this rock,
on this rock. I mean, literally, but you know, we have all these, you know, years, 2000 years of, you know, sustainability and, great theologians that have really thought through all this. And the other thing is that that's one thing that we need to have confidence in. So I always think the best offense or the best defense is a good offense. Can you talk about that? And you kind of have touched on that a little bit in terms of, you know, asking questions. Are there any other offensive moves that Catholics can make or should be making?
Well, I think what they should do is that when people start to explain what they believe, you have to keep your eye open for inconsistencies in that person's worldview. Like if the person says, you know, I don't think, I think it's arrogant for people to go around and say that, that they know that they're right and everybody else is wrong. You know, you should point out, well, this person is making a claim that, you know, all that they know that they're right and everybody else is wrong. Many people operate under a kind of double standard in their own thinking and operations. I remember once I talked to the young man who didn't like that the church was opposed to so-called same-sex marriage, but then I asked him, well, what does he think about polygamy? And he said, well, of course, polygamy's wrong. And I said, aren't you using the exact same reasons, though, to oppose consenting adults marrying each other? And he said, well, it's my double standard, but it's mine, so I'm okay with it. So, you know, hopefully it'll give him something to think about, but that's something else we can do in our conversations.
And when it gets right down to it, and I'm kind of a fan of John Martinoni and have been for a long time, listened to him from back in the day, one thing that it kind of boils down to is people ultimately, when you get down to the root, basically think their view is infallible. So, which is kind of interesting because there is one infallible source, and that's the one we're trying to purport. So I'm wondering if you've ever come across that ideology in its root, in a sense.
Oh, sure. Both with religious and non-religious people. I just had recorded a conversation for my podcast. I have conversations on my podcast with people who are not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And this was with a Protestant. And he had to admit that he asked me why Scripture wasn't my ultimate standard as an authority. And I asked him, well, is Scripture really your ultimate standard? Because it seems like the ultimate standard is just you. Your interpretation of Scripture is the ultimate standard. And so I think someone's interpretation of reality, they become their own standard. They don't recognize anything higher than them. And so I think that's important to point out for people.
Right. And I think they're really surprised. Sometimes people get mad when you're like, well, where are you getting that from, you know? And when you see the inconsistencies, you're like, well, this doesn't even make sense, you know, and that's one thing about what I think is so great about being Catholic and really having so much to draw on is that our worldview is very consistent. There is a consistent application to everything. I think it's maybe called the consistent life ethic. I'm not sure. That's just probably one of them. But it's a consistent application across the board. So I want you to talk a little bit about this book that's out, that's new, this new book. I really think it is probably one of the really good tools that's out there for people to begin to answer these questions. And the book is called Why We're Catholic. How long's it been out? Give us an overview of the book, because I really think this is a great resource.
Yes. So Why We're Catholic's been out for a few years now. It's my best-selling book, because I think it's a book that has the widest reach. I wrote that book to both help Catholics understand why we believe what we believe in a very easy-to-read way, but I also wrote the book in a tone and style so that you could actually give it to someone who's not Catholic, and they could get a lot out of the book as well. So I cover why we believe in God, in Jesus, in the church, and in the church's moral teachings. So all of that in a way that I think is easy to understand, easy to follow. And that's the goal, really, is to always make things more bite-sized and help people really reach them where they're at.
And it's in bite-sized pieces, even for someone like me that just likes to just read little short snippets. It's really just almost bullet pointed, even though it's not. It just has a question and then it has a short answer. I do want to ask you this question, and this is a question I think Catholics are getting a lot now in light of various, you know, the clergy sex abuse scandal. How do we take the high moral ground on sexual moral issues or the gift of human sexuality when there's been abuse in the church? I think that's a question we're all getting a lot of. Could you give us some points on that, how to answer that?
Well, certainly. I think what I would say is you should ask people, how do we judge whether a religion or a belief system is right? Do we judge it on what it teaches, or do we judge it by the worst of its members? And so I might ask people, if people were to judge, you know, your family or your workplace or your country, would you want people to judge it by its best people or its worst people? And the fact of the matter is to tell people that we are striving for holiness and we are always going to fall short, some people gravely so, but that doesn't detract from the truth of what the church teaches. Either what the church teaches is true or it's not. And so we would say, when it comes to issues of sexual morality, are these things true or are they not? That's what we should focus on, and that the church, of course, condemns any grave sins that anyone commits, especially those who are most entrusted to care for souls, such as priests and bishops. But that is not the central issue when we're trying to find out, is what the church teaches, is it true? That's where I probably would focus the conversation.
That's a great answer. Now, when you're in town, coming up here July 26th through the 28th at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, what are you going to be talking about?
Well, I'll be talking about how to talk about tough moral issues, whether it's sexuality or pro-life. I'll give these basic principles and hopefully engage in some dialogue and, you know, vigorous Q&A to help people talk to others about these moral issues when they come up.
So this interview is just a tease for to get a more full explanation on how to answer these questions. And people can find you where? Tell all the places that people can find you to listen to you or listen to Catholic Answers.
Well, they can listen to me on Catholic Answers Live, but I would recommend they probably check out my podcast at trenthornpodcast.com. I do three episodes a week, so that might be a good place for people to see me. So trenthornpodcast.com.
And for Catholic Answers, where can people get in touch with Catholic Answers if they want to see what's going on there?
They can always go to catholic.com.
And then, Kent, where can you hear Trent here on our local station?
Well, locally, all you need to do is dial up Catholic Radio Indy, 6 to 8 p.m., Catholic Answers, every day of the week. And for listening locally, if you can't get us on radio, if you're in one of those areas where we're just kind of outside, we have a dial-up service. Look that up on our website. You can listen to us on the web, or if you've got one of those little... those nice little electronic devices that sit in your house and listen to you. All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy, and you've got it right there.
Well, Trent, you have given us a lot to think about and a lot to start strategizing and praying and learning about our faith and then being bold, right? We need to be bold.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, you're a great inspiration to us, and we look forward to seeing you when you're in town here in the metro area. So my guest today has been Trent Horn, staff apologist at Catholic Answers. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.